Welcome. Welcome to Sunday School. Sunday School at Grace Baptist Church. I have a question. I've asked this question of myself, and I ask this question of all of you who are listening or viewing this. How will things work out in your life? How will things work out in your life? In my generation, and the generation of my parents, you could often hear a particular statement during difficult times in people's lives. That statement was, it will all work out for the best. Such a statement, folks, can only be said, truly said, by a genuine Christian. We see things working out for the absolute worst for countless numbers of people throughout the world today as they die destitute, poor, and having nothing materially, and oftentimes in the throes of bitterness. For those who die and are not destitute nor bitter, but have no interest in being forgiven for their sins, the Holy Scriptures say this. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Proverbs 30, verse 12 speaks of a generation pure in its own eyes, not washed from its filthiness. Highly, highly deceived. Then there are those people who have no regard for the danger they are in due to their sin. I marvel at that today. No regard for the danger they are in due to their sin. These people are those spoken of in Romans chapter 1. This is fearful to think about. God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts. God gave them up to vile passions. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. These are people who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, continue to practice unrighteousness, while knowing doing such is deserving of death. No regard, folks, for the forgiveness of sins. They not only continue such practice, but approve of those doing the same. It would be well for us to read Romans chapter 1 often. I fear our present generation is flooded inundated with this mindset, which is described in 1 Timothy 4:2, where we see the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, expressly speaking of the latter times and of those speaking lies in hypocrisy, telling you one thing and doing another, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, a branding iron. Such people, with basically no conscience, have little to no thought concerning how things will work out in their lives. Then there are those folks like the dear lady from England that I spoke of to you about a year ago in giving advice to younger people. She stated, ride loose on the saddle of life, because life is just a journey and you never know where it's going to take you. I'll grant you, while it's true that we don't know what is going to happen, what will happen from day to day, life is not just a journey, but indeed a testing ground with two paths. One path leads to perdition, utter destruction, utter ruin. The other path leads to life eternal. How will things work out in your life? In your life. When we say, how will things work out in your life, we are saying by implication, how will your life finish? What will be the end result of your life? Every human life has a finish, an end result. Common to all human souls is what we see in Ecclesiastes 3:2. A time to be born and a time to die. Here, the scripture speaks of physical birth when the body comes forth from the womb. The body, which houses the soul, is given vital life by the human spirit, which in turn is given by God. At death, that vital spirit giving life to the body returns to God who gave it, as seen in Ecclesiastes 3:21. Now again, before you wrongfully think that everybody goes to heaven, folks, that's not the finish. Physical death is not the finish. Not the end result. This is not what we are talking about when we say, how will things work out in your life? Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed to human beings to die one time. Then, after this, judgment. Now we're talking about physical death. Then, after you die physically, the judgment. Young people, listen very closely to Ecclesiastes 11:9. This is meant especially for those who give little or no thought to dying and might mock the idea of judgment by a sovereign God. When I was in private Christian schools for about 15 years, I always made it a point, whenever possible, and most often it was, that when I had opportunity in an assembly or a Bible lesson, especially for those in high school, I would highlight this verse. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. The scripture responds to those being deceived in such matters. Be not deceived, led astray. God is not mocked. Remember, I just spoke about those who might mock the idea of judgment by a sovereign God. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a human being might sow, that shall one also reap. Because the one sowing to one's own flesh, of the flesh shall reap ruin, utter destruction. But the one sowing to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting from the Spirit. Galatians 6:8. Remember those we spoke of earlier in this message who were poor, having nothing materially. What of those on the opposite end of the spectrum who are rich, lacking nothing materially? The Proverbs and the Psalms have much to say of and to those who are rich in material possessions. Proverbs 18, verse 11. The rich person's wealth is his strong city. And like a high wall, this wealth is like a high wall in that rich person's own esteem. Now that's expanded upon a bit in Proverbs 28, 11. The rich person is wise in his own eyes. Psalm 49 addresses the rich with devastating and highly revealing truth. Now, I want you to just listen, because I'm going to be skipping around in John, excuse me, in Psalm 49, beginning at verse 1. Hear this, all peoples. Now that includes you and me. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none can by any means redeem a brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly. It goes far beyond money, folks. Money is not in God's thoughts when we think of a ransom for the soul. Now, those of you who are not rich, do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. A man in honor, held in esteem by others, yet does not understand, is like the beasts that perish. No better than an animal. Human beings are not animals, but likened unto beasts. To those of you who are rich in stuff and of high esteem among human beings, I ask this question. How will things work out in your life? How will you finish in this life? You know, we have this life and that which is to come. What will be the end result of your life on this earth? Now, I want to address Christians by first looking at Paul's letter to all the saints at Philippi. And brothers and sisters in Christ, let's remember all Christians are saints, set apart by God, for God to be made holy like unto Christ. That's the purpose of God in saving us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and I'm going to read this from the New King James Version, beginning at the end of verse 12, chapter 2 in Philippians, the last clause. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, for those of you who have listened and watched me for a while, you know that I love word studies. And I love literal and expanded translations. And that's exactly what I'm going to do with what we just read. This is very, very, very profitable for your eternal soul, if you will listen. Work out There's another translation for that word. You can find it in your Strong's Concordance. Of course, I try to go further and go to other Greek lexicons. But listen to this literal and expanded translation. Finish the salvation of yourselves with fear and trembling. For the God, the definite article is in the text, for the God is the one working, present participle, presently and continually, for the God is the one working in you, both to will and to be active for the realization of the purpose. And we just saw the purpose of God earlier in saving us to make us into the image of Christ. And I want to now look more closely at this scripture that we're dealing with. Work out may indeed be translated finish. Now think about this. Finish the salvation of yourselves. Bring to completion. Therefore, we have an end result in mind. This activity is the reality of the salvation of our very being. Oh my goodness. Nothing more important. This activity is the reality of the salvation of our very being, our eternal souls. Therefore, it must be handled by us with a deep and abiding reverence for God, referred to here as fear and trembling. Because we realize, as the people of God, that the Holy Spirit of God is presently, right now, and continually working in us, inside our very souls, in our hearts, in our minds, both to be willing and to be active for the realization, realizing in reality of our salvation, which is that purpose God has appointed for His people. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, and 10. God did not appoint us, the elect, the people of God. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we should live together with Him as He was resurrected and now lives forever. The God-man, Jesus Christ. You see, the people of God have an expected end result. Peter, in his first letter, puts it this way: receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The saints, all God's elect, obey God's command to work out, to finish, to bring to completion their own salvation with reverential fear, because they know God Himself is always working in our hearts and minds to desire and to be diligently active as He enables us to finish this course unto His purpose of the salvation of our souls. That's what we see there in Philippians chapter 2 in those verses. Do you? Do I? Truly know how things will work out in our lives? How will you finish? What will be the end result for you? There is clear scripture, the record, the Word of God. There is clear scripture for those whose end will be eternal condemnation, and for those who by God's grace have an expected end. For those who have no interest in the forgiveness of sins through Christ and Christ alone, things are not going to work out well for you. The end result of your sin will be an eternally devastating finish. James 1:15 ends with this: sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And the death spoken of here is the second death of Revelation chapters 20 and 21, which is eternity in the lake of fire. Something that no one can escape once they're there, and it will be forever. But thanks be to God for that three-letter word in the scripture. But for those who are the called according to purpose, God says this through Jeremiah the prophet: "For I know," God says this, "for I know the thoughts that I think toward you," His elect, His people. "I know the thoughts I think toward you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not displeasure, to give you an expected end." Folks, blessed be the name of the Lord. We are safe in Christ and Christ alone. Finally, you must answer this question before it is too late. I don't know when that time is for you. I don't know when it's too late for you. But for so many, it will be too late. I don't know it again, but God does. God knows. the question. How will things work out in your life?